The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Lech Lecha. In Parshas Lech Lecha, near the end of the Sedra, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, I would like to read some of this Parsha for you. Vayehi Avraham ben Tishim Shonim v'Seisha Shonim, and Avraham was 99 years old. Vayira Hashem el Avraham, and Hashem appeared to Avraham, and Hashem said, Ani kel shakai hisalech lepanai v'heyesomim, you shall walk before me and you shall be complete. Tomi means complete, perfect, total. Betnovrisi ben Ivenecho, and I will give my covenant between myself and you, and I shall multiply you. And Avraham bowed. Anihine Vrisitoch, and this is my bris, this shall be my bris, my covenant with you. Vayisala Avhamen Gayim, and you shall be a father for a multitude of nations. Vayikore Aide Shimcha Avraham, Vayishimcha Avraham. No longer will your name be Avraham, but your name will be Avraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu added a hey to his name. What is the meaning of this? Avraham has two meanings. Avraham, which means a great father. Av and Rom. And also, Rashi brings, Av Aram. Avraham came from Aram. He came from a city which was known as Ramnaraim. That was in Babel, Ur Kasdim, and that was where today is Iraq, and there were two rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris, which came together there, and that was called a city of two rivers, and therefore Avraham came from a place called Aram, Aram Naraim. Therefore Avraham meant that he was the father of Aram Naraim, of that section. But now Hashem said, you will be an Av Hamein Goyim, you will be a father not only to that, but of a multitude of nations. Actually, you will be the father to the whole world. And therefore Hashem added a hey, Ki Av Hamein Goyim Nisaticho, you will be a father to a whole world. Because Avraham is the one who taught the world, after it was forgotten about Emunas and Hashem, that there was a Beira Elam, a creator of the world. Like we've spoken elaborately in other shurim. Bifreisi ischa, bimeid miayid, unesanticha lagayim, umalochim, umalochim imcha yetzeu. And I shall multiply you exceedingly, and I will make you into great nations, and kings shall come out from you. Rashi brings, when it states that I will make you into great nations again, here it's referring to two nations in particular, two great empires in particular, and that was Yisrael and Edom, Yisrael and Esav. It's referring to the birth of Yaakov and Esav, that from them, from those two came Israel and Edom, which was the Roman Empire was one of the empires that came from them. And then I shall establish my covenant between you and between myself and you, and between Zaracho Acharecho, your children afterwards. And then I will give you and your children Eretz Canaan. This is Eretz Yisrael. And I will be your God. And then again it says, Vatos Brisi Sishmor. You see it. An enormous continuation of the word brisir, covenant. In fact, as the Gemara says, the word brisir mentioned Yud Gimel Palmim 13 times. Zeis brisi, and this is my covenant. What is this covenant that we're referring to? This is my covenant. Asher tishmuru b'ni v'necho v'enzaracho acharecho, that you shall guard between, which shall be between myself and you, and between your children afterwards. Himol lachem kol zocher, that you shall circumcise every male. And you shall circumcise the flesh of their orlo. Orlo refers to the foreskin. Again, it's referred to, it shall be a covenant between myself and you. And when should you do this? When they're 8 years old, 8 days old. You need boys to miknas kesef. Now here, the Torah comes to tell us that not only are you obligated to circumcise your children, but also you lead boys who make maskesev, also your servants, whether they are your slaves, whether they are born in your house, or whether you purchase them. We call benecho ashelim azahuhu. Hina lina liyidu beisho miknas kaspecho. You shall circumcise your slaves which are born in your house, umiknas kaspecho, and those that you purchase. V'haisa grisi bivsarchem levriselom. The second time when it states, it doesn't speak about 8 days. So the Gemara learns out a distinction that slaves not all the time were circumcised. Those that were purchased, those that were born to you, generally then had to be circumcised 8 days old. But those that were purchased, they were circumcised on the day of their purchase, even if they would be 1 day old. And a person that will not circumcise himself, then he will be cut off from his nation as Brisha Hefar, because he has annulled my covenant. Then the Almighty said Sarai, her name was Sarai, she will no longer be called Sarai, but she will be called Sora. He added a hey to the name of Sora also. Again, why? Because the word Sora comes from the word Sar. It means that Sora was a queen, a princess, a queen. Sarai means she was my queen. She was a queen to Abraham. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no longer is she just a queen to Abraham, she's a queen to the entire world. Therefore he took off the yud and added a hey, and which we refer to that she was a queen to everyone. What happened to the yud? Rashi brings that the yud later on was added to the name of Yeshua. Yeshua's name was Hesheya, and Hashem added a yud that came from the end of Sarah's name. Uberachti Esau, and I shall bless her, and I shall give her a son, and also she shall have nations and kings from her son. And Abraham bowed down and he laughed with joy over this news, over the wonder that Sarah would be 90 years old and she would be able to give birth. And then he said, Halavai, Yishmael should live. And Hashem said, no, Sarah will have her own child, and you shall call his name Yitzchok, and you shall fulfill this bliss with Yitzchok. Then Hashem finished speaking with Abraham, and it states, Vayikach, this is in Pasuk of Gimel, Vayikach Abraham es Yishmael b'nei, that Abraham took Yishmael his son, was called Yudavesai, and all of the slaves that were born in his house, they's called Miknas Kaspoy, and all of the slaves that were not born in his house but were purchased, all of the males in the household of Abraham, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on every day, didn't wait another day, immediately on that day, as Hashem spoke to him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he circumcised himself, and Yishmael was 13 years old when he circumcised Yishmael. Abraham, on that very day Abraham was circumcised, and Yishmael and all of the people of the household of Abraham, those that were born by him, those that were purchased, they were all circumcised. So this is the parsha at the end of Parshat Lech Lecha. Now here is the major source that we have for the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And as we see from here, Bris Milah was a mitzvah given to Abraham, and Zaracho Acharecho, and his children afterward. It states, actually, one of the psukim that I left out, it states that as Brishiokim Esh Yitzchok, I shall establish this covenant not with all of your children afterward, see, but with Yitzchok. Even though Yishmael also was commanded to be circumcised, but the covenant forever will be with Yitzchok, your children through Yitzchok and afterwards. And the Gemara learns out many, many halochas from Bris Milah from here. And as we see, that this was a mitzvah which was given before the giving of the Torah. Generally, the 613 mitzvahs were given at Matan Torah, on Shavuos, after going out of Egypt, after Yetzias Mitzrayim. This was a mitzvah. There were a few mitzvahs given before. This was one of the mitzvahs that was given before. It's for this reason that when David HaMelech said, Sosa nechi alim rosechon tihilam kufyutes, Sosa nechi alim rosecha kemetzi sholorov, that I have great joy on your maimar, im rosecha, on what you have said, what you have commanded, kemetzi sholorov, like someone who finds great spoils. So the Gemara says that David HaMelech was referring to the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And Rashi says in Masechta Shabbos, I believe it's on Kuf Lamed Hey. Yeah, Kuf Lamed Hey, or Kuf Lamed Dalet in Perek Reb Lezer de Milo, that how do we know that David HaMelech was referring to the mitzvah Bris Milo? He says, because it states, Al Imrosecho Loshun Yochid. Imrosecho is written in the singular. So what does it mean? He says that I rejoice over your commandment. Should be commandments. So he's referring to the commandment, to the command which was given before the other commands. That's how we know that David was referring to Bris Milah. We see from here that Bris Milah is one of the 613 mitzvahs, but it's more than that. Firstly, for example, it states that if someone doesn't fulfill this mitzvah v'nichraso, then he is guilty and liable for the punishment of nichraso kovash, which means that if he dies without tshuva, he will be cut off from the nation. Kovash is the most severest punishment that we'll ever find by any mitzvah's essay, positive commandment, and we only find it by one other mitzvah's essay, and that's Korban Pesach. So right there we see that it's distinguished from all of the other mitzvahs. But even more so we see that it's distinguished from the other mitzvahs, because it's not merely a mitzvah, but it's called a bris, a covenant. In other words, that this will be the covenant b'ni v'necho, between me, between Hashem and you. This is why we always refer to the mitzvah of Milah not merely as Milah, but as Bris Milah. So we see that it encompasses the whole covenant between Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see also something else, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Abraham, he said, Isalech lefonei ve'yehi somim, walk before me and I shall make you perfect. And then he gave him the Bris Milah. So from here we learn that a person attains perfection through this mitzvah. So the mitzvah is distinguished. Very much so. As we know today, a Bris Milah is, it doesn't only have the importance of another mitzvah, but it's different. Fact is, we find the covenant, the word Bris, used in three places in regards to mitzvahs. One here by Bris Milah, one here by Shabbos. Shabbos is called a Bris, Brisi Meini Uveinecho, a covenant. We also find that Torah is called a Bris. Bris was given on the Torah. For example, when they stood to receive the Torah, it states in three places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the Bris that I'm making between myself and you. So this mitzvah is very, very distinguished, very, very important. In fact, we'll quote the Gemara that it will be a mitzvah. We see that even though Klal Yisrael during the long golus becomes lax on many mitzvahs, but Bris Milah is a mitzvah
that almost all Jews keep. And there's a reason for that. The Gemara, we'll put the Gemara on. But this evening, let's spend some time going into this mitzvah. Firstly, the obligation of Bris Milah is broken up into three parts. Firstly, it's an obligation on the father. We have a Mishnah Masechta Kiddushin and a Chavtes. The Mishnah states that a certain mitzvah is a ben al av that the father is obligated to fulfill in the son. And one of those is Bris Milah. Where do we know that from? Because it states Vayomal Avraham Eshitz Kol Benayi. In the next week's parsha, Parsha's Vayera, so there, by the birth of Yitzchok, it states Vayomal Avraham Eshitz Kol Benayi, that Avraham fulfilled this mitzvah Yitzchok. So from here we learn that it's a mitzvah aben al av, a mitzvah that the father is obligated to do in the son. If the father does not fulfill the mitzvah, or if there, he cannot, or there is no father, then it becomes a mitzvah on the Beis Din, which means Kol Yisrael. It becomes a mitzvah on everyone else. If for some reason the Beis Din does not fulfill the mitzvah, so then there's a third stage of the mitzvah, and that is that the child himself, once he's 13 years old, he's obligated to see to himself that he is circumcised. Just excuse me 1 minute. I think it's in the other chelek, no? Is it here? Just 1 second. Can you get me? The Rambam writes as follows: Milah mitzvah asay shechayov en alo koros. Milah is a positive commandment, which there's a punishment of koros if someone doesn't fulfill it. Shenemar ve'oral zochar asher leim alas besar alose v'nichos anefesh yimei amecho. That someone who is uncircumcised, he doesn't circumcise himself, then he shall be cut off from his nation. First, the mitzvah is on the father, and also al arav lomeles avodav, and on a master to circumcise his servants. Yilibayis u'miknas kesev, those that are born and those that are purchased. If the father or the master does not mow them, then bitul mitzvah esay, then he has transgressed this positive commandment. But the father is not obligated with korus. She'ena korus tole ele be'orel atzmai. See, the korus only is if the person himself doesn't do it, not if the father doesn't do it. Then, if the father is not going to do it, then the Beis Din has to do it. Because the Beis Din, that means everyone, is obligated to see that no one in Israel remains uncircumcised. And in Shulchan Aruch it's brought that even if this father refuses, right, now we do it by force. Because it's a mitzvah that everyone should see that everyone is circumcised in Israel. If the father doesn't do it and the Beis Din doesn't do it, then kishigodu huchayv lomel satzmai. Once he grows up and he's 13, then he has to circumcise himself, see that he himself is circumcised. And every day that passes and he doesn't circumcise himself, then he transgresses this positive commandment. And this is what the Rambam brings. For this reason, if the father can do the circumcision, he's a male himself, then there are those who hold he must not give it away to someone else. Because the mitzvah first is chal, takes effect on him and not on others. So he shouldn't give it away to someone else. If he can't, then he appoints a shliach. So he appoints, delegates someone with the authority to do it for him. Secondly, from the fact that we see that if someone doesn't circumcise himself every day, he transgresses. Just incidentally, whether he's high of chorus every day or not is a machlekes Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam holds only as far as the chorus is concerned, that's only if he goes through a whole lifetime uncircumcised. The Rambam and the Ravid holds not like that. But everyone agrees that every day he's transgressing the mitzvah. So from here we see that a bris milah must be done bismanai. Now when we say bismanai, here again there are two phases. The proper time for a bris milah is yom hashmini. So this means that if the baby can be circumcised on the eighth day, he's well and healthy, then you must do it on the eighth day. Must do it on the eighth day. See? The Mishnah says that you should try to do it as early as possible on the eighth day, although it's kosher the whole day. But if for some reason the baby cannot be circumcised on the eighth day, so when is its proper time? Soon as the baby can be circumcised, as long as it's not Shabbos or Yontif. If it falls on the eighth day, then the eighth day takes precedence over Shabbos. Milas Deches Shabbos is Yontif. It takes precedence. But if it, after the eighth day, no longer can it take precedence over Shabbos or Yontif, then, and this is called a Mila Shalebis Mani, but then it must not be scheduled for a convenient time. It has to be done immediately when the baby is ready. For example, if the baby is ready on the 13th day, it must be done on the 13th day, not on the 14th day, because every day is the mitzvah and every day is a transgression of that mitzvah if it's not fulfilled. If another halacha that's brought in Shulchan Aruch is if the father himself doesn't know how to circumcise, and there is a male in town who knows how to circumcise, but he doesn't want to, for some reason he doesn't want to, or he only wants a large amount of money and the father of the child is poor and he can't afford it, then Beis Din forces that male to circumcise the child. Why? What is the reason? So this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and this is brought from the Tshuva Zarajba, and the Gaon, Vilna Gaon, explains why. Because if the father can't circumcise, so this means now the mitzvah is on every individual. Other individuals don't know how, so then the mitzvah falls particularly on that individual or individuals that know how. And it's like any mitzvah asay now, positive commandment. And a positive commandment is kefir asay. Beis Din kefir asay, that the Beis Din has a right to force a person to do it, even though he doesn't want to. See. Then, we mentioned that the proper time, like it states, would be a mashmini on the eighth day. What is the reason for this? Perhaps the reason is for health. See, that on eighth day, the child is very healthy and strong. But on the other hand, we see that the Gemara learns that by servants, not all servants were circumcised on the eighth day. Those that were born by you were. But those that were purchased were circumcised on the day of the purchase, even though it was they were one day old. So from here we see that as far as health is concerned, a child, sometimes even if he's one day old or 2 days old or 3 days old, would be capable of the bris milah. So we see that the reason of the eighth day is not because of health. Actually, we have another proof to that also. Because the eighth day that we need is not eight complete days. Many times you can have a bris milah when it's just slightly over 6 days. For example, if a baby is born 1 minute before sunset, Let's say if a baby is born on Monday, when is the time for his bris milah? The next Monday on the eighth day. The baby is born 1 minute before sunset. So that's considered he's born on Monday, as long as he's born during the day on Monday. When would be the time for his bris milah? The next Monday. And you could have it 1 minute after sunrise on Monday. Bris milah must be done during the day. So here, he was born on Monday 1 minute before sunset. So he lived only 1 minute on Monday. So that's like nothing. So you have there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Saturday. Excuse me, Sunday. That's 6 days. And then you circumcise him. You can circumcise him 1 minute after sunrise on Monday. So you only have six and a half days. Sometimes the 8th day can be almost a full 8 days. For example, if he's born early Monday, if he's born a minute after sunset, if he's born a minute after sunset Sunday night, so then the time that's considered Monday, and the time for the bris milah would be Monday. Whenever we have rules of sickness, and the Gemara says that you have to wait 3 days. It says this is a sickness that you have to wait 3 days to be cured, or you have to wait 7 days to be cured. Then it's always me'es le'es. It's 3 total days or 7 total days of 24 hours. So here again, the fact that the Torah required 8 days is not because of rules of health. But there must be another reason in it, and we'll come to that reason. In regards to health, the Gemara brings the Gemara in the Blessed Mila brings a case that even though it's the mitzvah to circumcise on the 8th day, but we must be very careful that the child is healthy. Moranaf Kuf Lamadalet states, the San Yomar Ibnosin, Pam Achas Alakti Lekroche Ayom. Ibnosin said, one day I went Lekroche Ayom to a place far off in the sea. Ubos Ishel Lifbonai, Shemola Beno, and a woman came to me, and she had circumcised Beno Ishin, her first son, Umeis, and he died, heaven forbid. Shani, a second son, and it also died. Shlishi, now she had a third son to circumcise, and she didn't want to do it. And she brought it to me. Reisifshu Edim, I saw that he was red. Amati lo, antini lo. So I said to her, wait, achivlo bei domei, until all the blood is totally absorbed. Rashi says, from the fact that she was red, means that the blood had not gone into the whole system, but was very close to the external walls of the skin. And once you would make an incision, so then the blood could bleed uncontrollably. So therefore, he said, wait until the blood is absorbed properly. She waited, and then she had him circumcised, and he lived. And they named the child, his name was Nosan Ababli, the name of this Rav. And she said that they named the child after me, Nosan Ababli. Shuv Pamachas, another time, Halachti le Medinas Kaputkyo. I went to Medinas Kaputkyo. This was also a far off place. Bosi Shachas Lefonai, and a woman came to me, Shemola Beno, who circumcised her son. The first one he died, the second one he died, the third one she brought to me, Risiv Shu Yoruk. And I saw that he was very, very green, pale, green, yellowish. He tzatzti boy, velei risi boy dam brish. And I took a good look at him, and I saw that, so Rashi explains two things. Firstly, I saw that he was not healthy. Secondly, I saw there wasn't enough blood there that you could even fulfill the mitzvah of dam bris. In the mitzvah of milah, besides the mitzvah of removing the foreskin, there's a mitzvah that there should be some blood. And I saw that we wouldn't even be able to do that. So hamtini le'achi yipol bedome. So I said, wait until the blood comes to normal. Yipel means actually that the blood falls. Rashi explains, what does this mean? He says that the child's system was not functioning properly, where enough blood was being produced, and this is why he was green or yellow, and therefore he was very weak. Therefore, if you make an incision, an operation on him, it will be a danger. So Antinalei, she waited, Umolei say b'choya, and she had him circumcised, and he lived. And again, this one also was named after me, he said, Nosanababli. Now, this is true when it comes to colors, and this is true when it comes to any danger. Any danger, we are not allowed to make a bris mila. The Rambam brings as soon as I find it here. Talith, Perakalith of Aloha Yudzain, Tezzain and Yudzain, Achela Ibn Alinesei. If the child is sick, you're not allowed to circumcise him until he's well and healthy. He brings various cases, and then he brings this case, that where he's very green, or if he's red, you're not allowed to mal him until he returns to his normal color. Actually, this is a common problem today. The yellowness, I think it's a common problem all over, but it's a very prevalent problem here in Johannesburg. And he says, because this is a sickness. And then he writes, on these things you have to be very, very careful. And then he writes, Shisakonis nefoshes deches hakol be'efshalom l'achas man be'efshalachas nefesh achas mi'israel la'elom. When it comes to a sakona, a danger, that takes precedence almost over every mitzvah in the Torah, with the exception of three. And it's possible, even though the mitzvah is to circumcise on the eighth day, but it's possible to fulfill the mitzvah after also, because if you don't, if you're not mal on the eighth day, you're mal afterwards, you also fulfill the mitzvah. You didn't have the mitzvah the eighth day, but you have the mitzvah of bris mila. But it's impossible to return alive to Israel. So therefore, he says this, you have to be very careful with. There is a custom that we have, that when we have a bris mila, we make a celebration. We make a suda, a mishta, make a meal, and we invite a lot of people. We make a whole simcha. Where does this come from? That we should make a celebration with a whole meal and invite all kind of people. Shabbos, then you're supposed to have a Sudas mitzvah, a Suda. But the Gemara learns it out from Sukkim. For example, it says by the Mon, Hayom, Ichlo Hayom, that they should eat the Mon that day, and it says three times. From there, the Gemara learns out, Gimel Sudas. On Shabbos, you have to have three Sudas. And Yantif actually is not so clear. Teisvis and Mesech Tesukah goes into it, that where is the source that you need Sudas and Yantif? Some Rishonim hold you need, others don't hold, maybe you don't need, but there are sources. Hasana, we have a great celebration, but there it seems from Gemara's that the reasons of the great of the wedding feast, because they wanted that it should be an honor of the chosen and kala, especially the kala, the rabash Yisrael, the daughter of Yisrael, must be like a princess, and she shouldn't be given away into marriage without all of the accompanying entourage. It must be with kovod and honor, and with a suda, with a wedding feast, and with celebration. But why by bris mila? Bris Milah, what should be the source that we make a celebration and we make a party and we invite all kind of people? Now, we could say a reason, because in reality the Gemara brings, the Medrash brings, Shulchan Aruch, that when a person completes any mitzvah, he should celebrate. Where do we have a source for this? This we have in the Tanakh from Shlomo HaMelech. When King Solomon finished the building of the Beis HaMikdash, he made a big celebration. The Gemara says, why? To celebrate Gamra Shel Mitzvah. Because he completed a mitzvah, so he made a great celebration. From here we learn that when a person completes a mitzvah, he should celebrate. He invites his friends over, sits down and have something to eat and drink. This is the reason that's brought why we celebrate on Simchas Torah, which we just had recently, because we have finished the mitzvah of reading through the entire Sefer Torah B'tzibur publicly. And this, therefore, is also the reason why Siyum HaMasechta, when a person finishes a Masechta, so the custom is that he makes a celebration, he invites over a few friends, and they sit down and eat and drink. But this can't be the reason by Bris Milah, because then that's by every mitzvah. And by Bris Milah we see that even by people that don't make such simchas by any mitzvahs, naked by the Bris Milah, and we certainly don't make such lavish sudas by mitzvahs like we do by Bris Milah. So where is the source that comes of Bris Milah? We should make a whole celebration out of it. The Gemara brings in Perek Reb Lezer de Milah, Gemara says, as soon as I find it here. Right at the beginning of the parak, Daf Kuf Lamed, the Gemara says, Tanya Reb Shimon Gamliel Eimer. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Kol mitzvah shekibla aleihem besimcha, kigein milo. Every mitzvah which Klal Yisrael accepted with simcha, like Bris Milah, now brings that, where do we see that it was accepted with simcha? So it brings the pasuk that I quoted before, Dixiv Sosa Nechi Alim Rasecha Kemetzi Sholoro. Dovra Melech said that I rejoice over your mitzvah, over your statements, like someone who finds great spoils. So it says, Eidain Eisim Eso Besimcha. So we still fulfill it b'simcha. Kol mitzvah shekibla aleihem b'ktota, any mitzvah that was accepted by Klal Yisrael with ktota, ktota is with faribul. It was faribul with difficulty and reluctance and complaints. Now, what's a mitzvah, for example, that was accepted by Klal Yisrael with complaints? Kidon arayis. The pash of arayis, that means the unions that we were forbidden with, particular marriages that we were not allowed. When in on Har Sinai they heard the commandments of, all of a sudden, many women that they were accustomed to marry before, they weren't allowed because of Ben Noach. Non-Jews are allowed to marry many relatives which we are not allowed to marry. See, the laws are much stricter in regards to us. So when they heard the additional restrictions, it states they became very upset with that, very upset. And they accepted this mitzvah b'ktata, with reluctance. So then the Gemara says, Eidayin ha'iseisa b'ktata. It's still with faribul, it's still with reluctance. That's why we find so many faribuls and reluctances and difficulties by chasanas, the Gemara says. You'll never find a chasana, the Gemara says, that goes without any problem. actually the ksuba refers to the marriage settlement. When it comes to the marriage settlement, so one family wants one thing and the other family wants another thing, but all the time when it comes to when the chasna should be, when it comes where the chasna should be, how the chasna should be, and so forth. See, where should the couple live? See, Gemara says you won't find that it goes just like that. See, it doesn't go so poshut. Why? Because the mitzvahs of chasinas, Klal Yisrael accepted at Har Sinai with ktota, see, with complaints. So therefore, we still fulfill it with complaints. But the mitzvah of Bris Milah was accepted with great rejoicing. Therefore, we still fulfill it with rejoicing. Now, the Gemara brings a proof that there's rejoicing involved from David HaMelech, because David HaMelech said, "Sosa neich yalim rasecha." I have great rejoicing over this mitzvah. When it's interesting, when did David HaMelech say this? He said this, the Medrash brings, Medrash Tilim, when he was in Beis HaMerchatz, when he went to the bathhouse. When he was in the bathhouse, he realized one day that he's orum min ha-mitzvahs. He's divorced from all mitzvahs. Because you can't go into the bathhouse with your tefillin, you can't go into the bathhouse with your tzitzis. Not allowed to have mezuzahs in the bathhouse. And he realized that when he goes into the bathhouse, he's divorced from all mitzvahs, and he became dressed. Then he remembered the Bris Milah, and he was sosanechi alim rosecha. Because when a person is divorced from mitzvahs, it's like he's divorced from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It states a person, if he's walking ala derech, he's traveling, he should think in Torah. If he thinks in Torah, then he's close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But in the bathhouse, you're not allowed to think in Torah. So this was what depressed David HaMelech. It was like he was exiled from Hashem. Then he remembered the Bris Milah, and he said, "Sosanech alim rosecha." From here, we see a further insight that Bris Milah has that no other mitzvah has, that it stays with the person all of the time. See, all of the time. But now is the question. That we understand why we understand where the source is that they accepted the mitzvah of chasanos with reluctance. It says so in the Torah, what it brings a posuk. But where do we see that they accepted the mitzvah of Bris Milah with joy? Where do we see that? It states called mitzvah shikla aleihem besimcha kigain Bris Milah. Where do we see they accepted it with joy? So Tosfos brings a pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Pirkei de Blezer in the next parsha, it states when Yitzchok was born, so Avraham mauled him. Then it states that Vayomel Avraham et Yitzchok b'nei ben shmeini shomi, that on the eighth day he mauled him. And then it says that Bayas Avraham ishte godel b'yom hi gomer le Yitzchok. That Abraham made a mishteh godel, a great party, on the day that he gomel as Yitzchok. What does it mean, he gomel? The simple sense is, on the day Yitzchok was weaned. He made a great party, Abraham. Actually, the Medrash brings, it was great in two senses of the word. First of all, it was a great party, because no doubt there was a great deal to eat and drink. But secondly, it was a great party because it had great people. He invited kings. Avraham was a king in his sense. And he invited kings. He invited Shem, it states. He invited Avimelech. So therefore it was a mishter where Gedalia Ador, the greats of the generation came. Now on the day when Abraham, on the day when Yitzchok was weaned, but this is a little difficult because we do not find any precedent whatsoever that there's a reason why you should make a simcha when a child is weaned. So the Tosfos brings from Rabbi Natan that Higomel is the letters He Gimel Mem Lamed. Higomel. He says Mem Lamed. Mem Lamed, that is Mal, that means circumcised. Hey Gimel is the numerical value of 8. So what does it mean? Doesn't mean on the day he was weaned, on the day that he was mauled, on the eighth day when he was mauled. Now the Pirkei de Blezer says as follows. This is Pirkei de Blezer, Perek Chof Tesh. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Le'ikim Avram Mikol Asher Tzivahu. Avraham did not hold back from Hashem anything that Hashem requested. U'kishmeled Yitzchok ben Shmeini Yomim. And when Yitzchok was born at 8 days, he gishel milo. So he brought him to Bris Milah. Bris Milah is something that a father might be very reluctant to do. Because what does he have to do? He takes a tiny infant that is hardly a week old, and he makes an operation on him, a cut, an incision, and it bleeds, and the infant cries. It's not a mitzvah that a father or mother are going to be very happy to do. And the fact is, the Medrash compares it to a korban, a sacrifice. Because by a sacrifice, what do you do from the sacrifice? You make an incision and you bring the blood on the altar. It states this also is like a sacrifice where you bring the blood of the child to Hashem. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham to maul Yitzchok, and at least when he circumcised Ishmael, he was 13 years old. But Yitzchok was the first one who was mauled at 8 days old. So on 8 days he did it. It states by Yomel Avram Yitzchok b'nai ben Shemene Shomim. He did it on 8 days. But then the Medrash, the Higishel Minchal Gabi Mizbeach, and this was as if he brought a sacrifice to Hashem's altar. But then it goes further. How did he do it? Did he do it reluctantly? It states Va'osa Simcho Mishta, and not only he did it, he did not do it reluctantly. He did not do it as if he was being forced to do it, but he made a great simcha that day, as it states that he made Bayas Avram Mishta Goru B'yemi Gomel Yitzchok, that on that day he made a mishta, a party where he invited the greats of the generation to celebrate. What was he celebrating? He was celebrating the mitzvah. Odom Lasei Simcha Mishta Bayas Hayem Shezocha Lomul Es B'nai Ki Avram Avinu. From here we learn that when a person has the schus to bring his son to Bris Milah, he should make a great party to fulfill the mitzvah b'simcha, like Avraham did. As it states, Avraham Mishtegodl B'yemi Gomel Es Yitzchok. This is how Tosfos brings in the name of Rabbi Natan from the Pirkei de Blezer as the explanation in the Gemara. The Gemara says, every mitzvah that we accept in b'simcha, Klal Yisrael still does b'simcha. Where do we see we accepted it b'simcha? Because who was it first given to? Avraham. And Avraham, even when we could ask, why didn't he make a party when he mauled himself in our Pasha? So that we can say simply, because it states that Avraham was very old. Avraham, it says in our Pasha, Avraham, he was Tishim Shana V'Teisha Shana, he was 99 years old when he mauled himself. The fact is, it speaks about that he was a little afraid. He did the Bris Milah on himself, and he was a little afraid because being 99 years old, he was very old, and he was afraid his hand was not so steady. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held his hand together, they held the knife together. So Abraham was sick. As we see in the next parsha, the Malachim, the angel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Mevaka Chela, to visit him. So it wasn't possible for Avraham to celebrate that. But when he mauled Yitzchok, and that was the first one to be mauled at 8 days, not only he didn't do it reluctantly, but he, which by nature one should think that's how you should do it, but he made a great simcha of it. So we see that the Tchilas Kabbalah, it was first done with great joy. A mitzvah that was first done with great joy, we must continue doing it with joy. And that's why we see Klal Yisrael does it this way. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya is brought that Noagin Laseis Suda, that the minig is to make a Suda, and the Gaon, there the Grov rings, this is the source. See, so we should realize that when we make a party, what we're doing is emulating Avraham's party that he did on that Simcha, on that time. Now we mentioned that
8 days
is the proper time for the Brit Mila. Why? There's a Gemara that says G'day Lamila. See how great Brit Mila is. Shadechas HaShabbos. That it takes precedence over the Shabbos, because on the eighth day, even if Shabbos, and technically you're desecrating Shabbos when you do the Brit Mila, nevertheless you're allowed to do it. So we see it's greater than Shabbos. Now there's a Medrash in the Medrash Rabbah. Perek Chof Zayin, Parshas Emor, Perek Chof Zayin, Chof Yud. I have the wrong volume here. Dubu, can you get me the other volume? This is Bamidbar, I need Vayikra. What? Oh, excuse me. No, you're right again. You're right. Yes. States that by a sacrifice, before you bring an animal for a sacrifice to Hashem, it has to be 7 days by his mother. So the Medrash asks why. So the Medrash says we find a similar halacha to a child. Before you make the Brit Mila, he has to be 7 days by his mother, and you make the Brit Mila on the eighth day. Now why should we compare the two? So the Medrash says because they are both like sacrifices. When you bring an animal to Hashem, you're bringing the blood of the animal on the altar. When you make a circumcision, a Brit Mila, you are also bringing the Dam Bris, it's a mitzvah of Dam Bris, this blood to Hashem. Omar Rishua, the Sachnin B'Shem Rav Levi. Omar Moshe LeMelech Shenichnas LeMedina VeGozev HaOmar Kol Aksanin Sheyesh Kan LeYiro Ponai Hachiru Pnei HaMatruna Tchila Kachoma HaKodesh Baruch Hu LeSavir LeFonai Korben Ad Shetavo Lov Shabbos Shein Zayin Yomim B'Lei Shabbos Vein Mila B'Lei Shabbos. An example: a king comes into the Medina and people want to come and see him. So he says, nobody can come to see me unless first he is received by the queen. First he must be received by the queen, and then he can come to see me. The same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that do not bring your offerings to me, do not bring the offering of your child to me, unless first he is received by the queen. Then bring the offerings of your child to me. Who is the queen? The queen of Shabbos. You will not find a Brit Mila by a Yisrael shele ova by Shabbos that didn't have a Shabbos in it. Because every eighth day has to have a seventh day in it. So here we see the reason. That the reason why we wait until the eighth day is in order that shall over by a Shabbos, in order that he should experience a Shabbos first. As the king says, someone who comes to see me must first be received by the queen. The same thing, someone who comes to see me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, first must be received by my queen. Who's my queen? That's the Shabbos Malkus. Must be received by the queen Shabbos. What is the explanation in this? The Maral explains. There are three levels. You have Sheish Yishimei HaMasa, the 6 days of Melocha, of work. second level you have the seventh day, which is Shabbos. And then a third level you have the eighth day, which is even beyond that. See, Shabbos is part of the creation. It's not the 6 days of work, but it's still part of the creation, because it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu only completed creating the world in 7 days. But then you have something which is beyond this world. That's the eighth day. Eight is beyond this world. It states that eight is the dimension of Torah. Because, for example, Torah was given in the eighth week. It was given after 7 weeks. After going out of Egypt, there were 7 weeks, 49 days, and on the 50th day, the beginning of the eighth week, Torah was given. We find that Torah and its mitzvahs, that is at a higher level than the 6 days of creation and even the seventh day of creation, because it comes from a higher world. So these are the three levels you have. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that a child, in order to be ready for the mitzvah, this great mitzvah of Bris Milah, he first must go through the 6 days of Melocha, the six Shesh Shemei Amasa, the 6 days of creation. Then he must be Mekabel Kedusha Shabbos. He must experience the sanctity of Shabbos. And then he's ready for the Bris Milah on the 8th. Actually, it was referred to Lamnatzeach HaLashminis. David HaMelech wrote a capital Tillam called Lamnatzeach HaLashminis. And there, Tosfos brings from the Medrash that that refers to the Bris Milah HaNitin B'Shminis, which is given on the 8th day. And so this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't bring the child to me, he's not ready for this great mitzvah until he has first been mekabel, received Shabbos, just like a king says, don't come to me until you've been received first by the queen. So this is why Mila is on the 8th day, and this is what the Gemara means, Gedela Mila, how great Mila is, Shedeches HaShabbos, because it takes precedence over Shabbos. And this is why it does take precedence over Shabbos, because it is at a higher level. With this we understand also why we don't need 8 total days. See, if it's 8 days, we mentioned before, they don't have to be 8 total days. They can be 7 days in a fraction, see, or even less sometimes. Even sometimes 6 days and a part of a day. Because we're not interested, you don't need the 8 total days. We're interested as long as it's in the 8th day and has gone beyond the 7th day where you have received the Shabbos. Then we found another particular custom by Bris Milah, and that is that our custom is to name the child at the time of the Bris Milah. Yikore Shmei B'Yisrael. We say he shall be called his name in Yisrael, and we give him a name at the Bris Milah. We can ask the question, why? Why do we have to wait until the Bris Milah? For a daughter, you name her at the first possible opportunity. As soon as the daughter is born, so the father, first opportunity, he comes to shul, and when they lay in the Sefer Torah, even if it's on that day, he gets an aliyah and he makes a mishaberech, and there he names the daughter. Why? By Bris Milah. Many times he's in shul on several days of Kriya Satera before. Now we wait for the Bris Milah. Perhaps it's coincidental. We'll say that's a good time because everybody's there and we're making a whole simcha. Perhaps it's coincidental. I once had a shaila. Someone asked me that the child was quite sick. And the doctor said that it'll be a long time before he's ready for his Bris Milah. It could be a matter of months. The child was quite sick when he was born. So they asked me that, can we give it a name? The child, especially they were making mishaberichs for the child for a refuah shleima, and they're calling the child the tinaik, the child who is the son of so and so. Wouldn't it be better that we should give him a name? And it was a good question to go for 2, 3, 4, 5 months without a name. But I asked Rabbi Loy. And first Rabbi Loy thought, yes, he says, it's not right that the child should go so long without a name. But then he came back to me and he said that he did some research and he looked into, this is not halacha that's brought explicitly, and he saw in some of the Sifrei Minhogim, the Sforim that deal with the various customs, that even in a case where the child cannot have a bris milah for a long time, the minhag is to give him a name only at the bris milah. So you go all of this time without a name. So we see that it's not just a coincidence or it's a convenient opportunity, but that the name should be given at the bris milah. Now, I haven't done too much research into this as to find out the reason. The reason where Rabbi Loy found it from, I mean, there the custom was brought, but not the reason. I haven't had an opportunity to do too much research as to what the reason is. But a reason that I would propose is, why do we give names at the Bris Milah? Because firstly we see that this is what took place by Abraham. If you recall when we read over the Parsha this evening, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Abraham and he said Yisalech lefonai be'yisomim, walk before me and be complete. And the Chazal tell us, what does it mean be complete? That you will be complete with this bris milah, because this is a mitzvah which gives a person completeness, totality. Ve'ed mavrishi, and I will give you my bris. Then, Abram, your name no longer will be called Avram, but your name will be Avraham. So we see, right, Avram was not given a name, but he was given a new name, Shinui Hashem. And this was done at the Bris Milah. Avram was 99. And even Sarah was given a new name at that time. So we see that the Kriya Hashem, giving of names, evidently has a lot to do with Bris Milah. Now why? What does it have to do with Bris Milah? And the reason is very, very deep. The Baal brings, he brings this in various places. One of the places is his Chidush HaGodes in the Dorim. In the Dorim there's a whole sugya in Bris Milah, it's on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. The Bris Milah, the mitzvah is, it states in the Torah, Unamaltem es besar olaschem, to remove the foreskin. What does it mean, olaschem? Olo, what does that mean? So the Maforshim commentaries bring that the word olo means actually astima. Astima means an enclosure, a covering, or more than a covering, like an interruption. Because we find the word olo not only in reference to Bris Milah, we find it in other cases also in the Torah, where, say, for example, it states Ara Orel Ravchem. We translate olo to mean uncircumcised. Ol Ravachem means your hearts that were uncircumcised. And there the Mefarshim explain, your hearts were covered up. It's like a person that has so much fat around his heart that you didn't have a Lev Lahovim. You didn't have a heart to understand. See? Because it was so smothered and covered. So this is what Ola means. This is the commandment to remove this olo. And he explains, because the person is not in perfection physically. Physically he's not in perfection as long as that olo is there. And that is why we must remove it. That is a skin, a foreskin that is enclosing a part of the body that shouldn't be enclosed. Just like if a person had too much too much covering his heart, and his heart couldn't understand. Ola slavavchem, because Ola means a stima, a covering that shouldn't be there. A covering that is an interruption that shouldn't be there. So man physically is not perfect with this. And this is why it has to be removed. This is why it's called Hayei Tomim. If you walk before me, and you will be perfect. And man physically was created to be perfect. We brought once before from the Maral that when man was given Tzelem Elokim, the image of the Almighty, it wasn't only because of his spirituality or his intellectuality, but even physical, he was created with a perfection, because we see that the Gemara says that the 613 mitzvahs correlate with the 613 various organs of the body. So we see even physically he was created in accordance to the order of the Torah. Now this Ola is an imperfection. Ola means a interruption, a stima that's there that shouldn't be there. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Remove it, and then you will be stima. Then you will be tomim, perfect." Now, man's with this, he gains his perfection, his physical perfection. Naturally, there's all the spirituality that comes with the mitzvah also, but the mitzvah itself is a physical mitzvah. When he gains this perfection, then his true identity comes forth. His total identity comes forth. Actually, the Gemara brings that the mitzvah is fulfilled right in the place where you identify a newborn, whether he's a male or a female. In other words, here is the identity of the zohar, of the male. Through this, he gains tamimus. Physically, he becomes perfect. And then, he can go further to bind himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Yishalek lefonai," Rashi brings, "till now you couldn't walk with me because of the oral, because of this foreskin. But when I give you my bris and you'll be tomim, now you'll be able to walk with me." And actually, now you'll be able to walk with me. So we're talking here of the final perfection of man. Actually, the question is asked, why wasn't he created this way? If the foreskin shouldn't be there, so why wasn't he created this way? So the answer that the Medrash brings is because man was created imperfect. And perfection he gives himself through mitzvahs. So he was imperfect, but with this mitzvah he will perfect himself. So when man reaches his final perfection, then he reaches his final identity. Now, we have mentioned many times that Hashem Meir Al Etzem, it's the name which identifies man. So when is the proper time that he should have his name? Only at the time of the Bris Milah, not before. Because before, he has not reached that final perfection, physical perfection. When he reaches it, now he has his identity, now he should be given a name. Abraham had an identity before. It was not a good identity, it was not a total identity. Now he reached a total identity, he was given a new name. And Rashi brings very interesting that when he was given his new name, Avraham, now the minion Esiascho was Reish Mem Ches, Kiminyan Evarecho. Then now the gematria of his name was Reshmem Ches 248, which is encompasses all 248 parts of the body. See, they were all perfect now. So this is a very good reason why that a name should be given. The name was given to Avraham at the time of the Bris Milah, and that's the time, therefore, when we give a name to a child, because until then his identity has not come out in totality. To go a little further with this, the Maral brings, we mentioned before that we find Grish in three places the Gemara brings. It brings that we find Grish, the word Bris Milah, in Bris Covenant in regards to Bris Milah. Secondly, we find it in regards to Shabbos. It says Shabbos is called the covenant. And thirdly, we find it in regards to Torah. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Bris Milah, the Rambam says as follows. The Gemara says, "Gedele Bris shenichtav alaha yugem brisus." We see how great the Bris Milah is, because 13 times in this parsha is the word Bris mentioned. Then the Gemara brings that the Bris written by Torah is only 3 times. So we see how great Bris Milah is. So the Rambam brings at the end of the Hilchos Bris Milah, Bo rei kama chamura milah. Come and see how great Bris Milah is. Kol mitzvah ha-Torah nichrusu alein shleish brises. And all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, it says bris 3 times. As it states, Eile divrei ha-bris asher tziva Hashem. This is the covenant which Hashem commanded. That's referring to all of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Milvara bris asher koras itam b'cheriv. Besides the covenant which I made with you in Chorev. V'shamoim atom nitzavim, atem nitzavim hayem kulchem la'ovrecho b'bris Hashem elekecho. And in Nitzavim there it says that you are ready to go into the covenant. So 3 times. V'al amilo is nichosa shleish esre brises. 13 times. Im Avraham Avinu. And we list them all off. That's in our parsha. The reason for 13, actually, because of this, some have a custom to light 13 candles at a Bris Milah. The reason for 13 is not mentioned any. The reason is not mentioned anywhere explicit. One reason, perhaps, we could give is because the Gemara says that at the Bris Milah, the bracha we should give the child is Kishem Shenichnas LeBris. That you were just zeicha to go to the bris, you should be zeicha now to go to Torah and chupa and ma'asim tovim. Now the next step would be bar mitzvah. So therefore, perhaps we could say that 13 times, because that's when he'll be ra'il mitzvahs. That's when he'll be able to fulfill mitzvahs. But the Maral gives another tamanet. He says that yud gimel, that's the gematria, that's the numerical value of echod, of one. See, Aleph Ches Dalet is 13. And a real covenant, which is a bond between two people, if it's in totality, it can only include two people. Because a covenant, a bond, means where you take two people and you make one out of them. That's a total covenant. If it's shared with more, then that's not a total covenant. Total covenant means with only between two people. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu continually said, Beini uBeinecho. It's between me and you. No one else. Between me and you. So the whole concept of the Bris was that of Achdus, of a union, a unity. And therefore, it's 13 times it was repeated, which spells out Echod, one. This makes one from Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact is, he brings in a place, a Chazal, that says, just like on a slave, many times they would make a mark into the flesh of the slave to show that he belongs to me. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on us, to show that we belong to him. There was a total Achdus, oneness. Therefore, 13 times, to show this oneness. Now, the Gemara brings that in three places, Bris is mentioned, like we said. She explains as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bound Yisrael to him at three points. Physically, through the goof, through the nefesh. The nefesh is the heart and the life emotions of the person, and through the seichel, through the mind and intellect of the person. The bris of the mind and the intellect, that is the bris HaTorah. It's the covenant he made when he gave Torah to Klal Yisrael. The bris that has to do with the nefesh ha'odim, that's the life spirit, this life and emotions of man, that's Shabbos. Because menucha has to do with the emotions. Menucha means when a person stops. Movement, that comes from the life in a person. That's why in Shabbos it states many times by Inofesh. It says Inofesh means he will stop and be refreshed. What will be refreshed? His the life in him will be refreshed. The Gemara brings on Shabbos, he's given Nefesh Yisera, an extra Nefesh. So Shabbos is the bris of the Nefesh. And Bris Milah is the bris of the goof, of the perfection of the body. Actually, the Gemara has a machlekes in this. It's in the Dorim. We don't have time to go into it now, but it's in the Dorim in Lamed Aleph. Which is greater, see, the bris of the Torah or the bris of the Bris Milah? Because even though the bris of the Torah is a much higher level, but still the whole purpose is for a man to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order for a man to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to have a perfection of this world first. And therefore he has to be Tomim. These are some insights into this parsha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Abraham and 13 times he says, we will make a covenant between you and Zaracho Acherecho, your seed afterwards, Mokim as Bris in Yitzchok and with Yitzchok. And he said, he's Halech Lefonai Ve'ehe Somim, with this you shall be perfect and you will be able to walk together with me. And he gave him his name, Avraham.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.